Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, everybody, we are live for a post-game Q&A. I am Eddie Provident. With me is Jared Prugar. This is DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is a Steelers post-game Q&A. Jared, there is really not much good to talk about with this football game. I don't even know if I wouldn't even call it a football game. It was just, wow, that was bad.
Yeah, that was, I mean, unless you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, but if you're listening to this, you're probably not. So sorry you had to sit through that for 3 hours. That was an abysmal assortment of football. And that's coming from a guy that's watched Penn State every game this season as one of the members of the Penn State beat for this website. So I've seen a lot of bad football. That was atrocious as the Steelers lose 41 to 10. Sorry, they got that garbage touchdown. And yikes.
Yeah. So how this works, if you haven't been here for a post-game ask anything question and answer session, we are live on Twitter, we're live on Facebook, and we are live on YouTube. Throw your questions in the comment section. We'll try to get to as many as possible over the next 20 minutes, half hour. We'll see how things go. And maybe this will just be a cathartic therapy session for all the Steelers fans watching us today. So let's just get right to it. I'm going to go ahead and put the comments up on the screen, and then Jared and I will do our best to answer them. I'll be honest with you, after watching that game, I don't have a lot of answers. First, we'll start with this one. I turned it off at the half. Did I miss anything? No, you didn't. It was Brian. It was much of the same. Pat Freiermuth had a nice catch in the end zone to make it look better than it was.
The Steelers finally forced a punt.
Yeah, they forced a punt. So I guess things to build on, maybe. I don't, grasping at straws here. When do we move on from both coordinators? I would have liked to have seen it happen at halftime of this game. Look, let's be real here for a second. Try to stop the pessimistic joking. The Steelers are a organization that are it's good and bad, but they are well known for their loyalty. They're not going to move away from a coach after one season or less than one season. It would have to be a lot worse than a 5-5-1 season for them to step away from Matt Canada. And I don't think that they're going to step away from Keith Butler, just because I think that they understand or they're going to look at it as a lot of injuries and a lot of things that didn't go the organization's way with a lot of these players. So I don't think either of them are going anywhere anytime soon. What's your thoughts, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sit here and say that they probably won't go away from me. I mean, you have to have consistency, especially on the offensive side of the football. But, I mean, let's be real. The real offensive coordinator, they haven't let call plays. And when they did, they scored a boatload of points against LA Chargers, and that was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, trust in Ben, trust in that offense, and maybe that'll actually do something. But what Matt Canada is doing in the schematics that he's throwing out there week after week after week just isn't working. Now, as far as Keith Butler, it's a depleted bunch. I mean, T.J. Watt's banged up. Devin Bush is a pylon. Joe Hayden's been hurt. Minkah Fitzpatrick's back today, gets an interception. So the defense, you know, there are excuses. You obviously don't want to have excuses, but at the same time, there are plenty of excuses to be had. defensively. But there is no excuse for giving up 82 points in 2 weeks. I mean, 41 against the Chargers, not at all. 41 again today. That there's just no excuse for that for an organization that prides themselves on defensive football. There's no excuse for that.
Absolutely agree with you 100%. John Leese from Facebook says, can anyone explain why Ben played the whole game? Jared and I were talking about that before we went live. I have no clue why Ben was in that game in the second half at all, let alone the fourth quarter garbage time like that. I guess maybe you just want to get the reps in, but I was not a fan of that at all. I would much rather see if he's going to be your starter for the foreseeable future, at least till the end of this season, barring injury. I would like to see him get taken out of that game. They took, I know I saw a lot more of Anthony McFarland in the backfield in the second half, especially late in the game. I would have liked to have seen them not use Ben Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson for that matter, because we saw what happened with him against the Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders game. He got injured on the last play of the game there. I just didn't like it. I don't have an answer for it. I wish I did, John, but I didn't. I'm with you. I was very perplexed by that thought process.
Yeah, we don't have any answers, but I hope Mike Tomlin does, because I think that's inexcusable. If for a guy that gets banged up, and we've seen the offensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers play, it's not like they're doing any good. So, I mean, for him to leave Ben vulnerably in there in a game that was considerably out of hand, I mean, they're calling timeouts under 2 minutes. I mean, I understand getting momentum, and they had that momentum kind of at the end of the Chargers game going into this week, and then just that all went away on the first drive. But there is just no excuse for leaving your ancient quarterback in there. Go in, get Mason Rudolph some reps, get your second teamer some reps. And not just Ben, but the starters were in there too. Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth obviously had that great touchdown catch. But, man, I just don't agree with that call. But, again, that's why Mike Tomlin makes millions, and we're sitting here talking about it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what this one's referring to, but we'll go with it. Robert Ellison says, you really think Tomlin is the problem? I think that there are a lot of problems right now, and I think that I think Tomlin's probably just part of it. I think if you're being honest, and I think this is what Tomlin's going to approach this week. In that building, in the Steelers facility on the south side, UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, they're going to look in the mirror, and it's going to start with Mike Tomlin, and they're going to find, especially after watching the film on this game, there are a lot of problems, and it starts at the top with the coach, and it trickles all the way down to every single backup. You look at a game like today, there wasn't one bright spot in this football game today, and they have to own that. The Steelers have to look at the film. They have to digest that, and they have to be ready to play a very tough Ravens team. As Steeler fans, whether we want to admit that the Ravens are going to be a tough game or not, they're going to have to face a tough Ravens football team, and they've got to bounce back from this fast. If they want to salvage this season, they have to bounce back fast, and it starts with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, the standard is the standard, right? Well, what's the Pittsburgh Steelers standard this season?
Mediocrity.
Mediocrity is a dish well served, except for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you expect that from maybe the Bengals or the Browns, of course, but the Steelers, this isn't the Steelers. This isn't Steelers football. So, I mean, he's got to take a good long look at him and at himself. What's the issue? Defensively, I mean, I think they have a lot of issues. Devin Bush, woof. I mean, obviously Spillane gets hurt, isn't able to come back. That means Devin Bush is on the field more. The Bengals did a great job of targeting James Pierre and Joe Hayden's absence, and T. Higgins had an incredible football game. So, I mean, for a guy that's coming into this, his specialty is defense. Mike Tomlin's got to take a good, long, hard look at the defense. And then offensively, I mean, Benny Snell had 8 carries for 23 yards. I understand that they were playing from behind quite a bit. But, man, when you get a feature back like that and you're only using him 8 carries, there is something wrong there.
Yep, I've been banging that drum for a few weeks now, Jared. I don't know why they're not using Najee Harris more than they are. He's playing a bunch of snaps, but they're not putting him in the right situation.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We've got Ian Richards here from YouTube. Do you think the Steelers punted on this season by not spending all the cap money, like punting in the Steelers way? Ian, I think that from a fan standpoint is a good question. I don't think that the Steelers are ever going to punt on a season. I don't think that that's the way this franchise operates. I am curious as to why they didn't spend that $10 or $11 million in cap space that they haven't touched. And I am curious as to why. I would love to get an answer from Kevin Colbert on that. Maybe by the end of the season when he speaks, the next time he speaks, we will get an answer. But yeah, I don't think that they punted on this season, maybe not intentionally. But I do think that not using that $10 or $11 million in cap space left some holes that they could have at least tried to patch. You can't guarantee that they would have, but they could have at least tried to.
Yeah, and that's tough because, I mean, what are you going to do with that money? You could go out and say you get a Melvin Ingram, and that really didn't work out the way that they had expected. So, I mean, it just kind of depends on what's available and what the market gives you. I mean, the Steelers are always going to be smart. I think they have one of the best front offices in all professional sports, which is something that's crazy when you look down the street and you see what the Pirates have to offer on the North Shore. But it's just one of those situations where is it smart to spend up to that? To that cap limit, or are you just gonna go with what you got? And you know, we sit here and the world is on fire, and you can insert the this is fine gif or jif or however you want to say it. But at the same time, there are only 11 games left, or they're only through 11 games of the season. There's still a lot of season left. Now, that doesn't make it any better because they have the worst schedule moving forward. They play, I think it's the highest winning percentage out of anybody throughout the next couple weeks of the season, and that's going to give you kind of your indication of where the Steelers are at as a team. So to say that they haven't punted is, I don't think, fair yet. I don't think they're going to. I think there's still a lot of fight left in the season. But, I mean, it's going downhill fast and not in a good way.
Yeah, I got one here that I kind of take exception to. Jordan390A says, Tomlin's a big problem, no team discipline. I don't see it as team discipline, man. I don't see that as the problem. I see, sometimes a lack of effort in this game. I saw when the game got out of hand, I saw that guys, you know, when a game gets out of hand like this, you want to see guys play for themselves almost. You want to see guys play for some pride. I see that being a problem, but I don't see the team being undisciplined. I see the team being young, inexperienced. I see an offensive line that has really never played together before this season that hasn't gelled, that has no cohesion. I see a quarterback that's getting older and showing signs of wear and doesn't always have it like he didn't today. I see wide receivers that are very inconsistent, save Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool needs to be better on 50-50 balls. Ben Roethlisberger, that one in particular that he dropped, that Ben threw to Chase Claypool that he dropped behind him. Could have been a better ball, no doubt, but Chase Claypool can help his quarterback out. That's one of those things where, you know, both of those guys drop, no pun intended, both of those guys drop the ball. I don't see Mike Tomlin in a lack of discipline on this team. That's not what I see at all. I see a lot of problems, but that's not it. That's just what I see. One man's opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tough because I think discipline-wise, you know, Chase Claypool kind of lost his cool. Had an issue there at the end of the game where he, you know, drives the cornerback out to the sideline, rips his helmet off, causes a 15-yard penalty. And if it wasn't for the Bengals sideline, that could have been a big time brawl. But you know, it's just playing smart. I mean, at that time they were down 38 points. Just why? why are you doing this? And you know what? I mean, Tomlin knows the game. The players respect him. People want to play for Mike Tomlin. So, I mean, yeah, are they undisciplined at times in the game? Yes, but I don't think that's indicative of Mike Tomlin. I think that's just indicative of a young, immature team. You know, not everybody is 39 years old like Ben Roethlisberger or however old. You know, a lot of these guys are young, second, third, rookie year players. And when you have that, man, it's tough. It's tough to kind of get from that big man on campus in college to that low man on the totem pole in the NFL. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing, especially with the young receivers. But again, you know, it starts at the top, and you can't let that stuff kind of feed into the program.
Yeah. I got one here, trying to be optimistic, I guess. Pittsburgh Sports All the Time says, and even though we lost today, just got to win the next two games and we're in a good spot. Yeah, that's true. But what has this team showed us that we would have any confidence that they're going to go in, they're going to go into next week and beat the Baltimore Ravens? This is a "what have you done for me lately" league. That's one of the most overused phrases about the NFL, but it's true. Until the Steelers do something to prove that, you know, fans and all of it, you know, like the city could put any kind of faith in them winning a meaningful game right now against a good football team, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
Yeah, I mean, you got to beat the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's pretty good at the game of football. The Ravens defense is pretty good, yeah, too. And then you got to play a Minnesota Vikings team the next week on a short week after probably a physical matchup against the Ravens. You got them coming in on a Thursday or going there on a Thursday, I believe, if I'm looking at the schedule correctly.
You're
going to Minnesota, short week. There's a very good chance, as good as it would be for them to win both games, there's a very good chance that they could go 0-2, and this is even more of a disaster than what it is already, because the Minnesota Vikings are infinitely better than what their record will tell you. I mean, they're sitting here at 5-5 without this week being factored in, but you know, it yikes.
Yeah.
And they're much better than what their record is indicating.
Absolutely. We got Sean Gallagher on Facebook says, "Be realistic. Nobody's getting fired. So what's reasonable changes could be made to possibly salvage this season?" I love this question, Sean, because it is rooted in reality. If I were doing this, the first thing I would do is I would start Zach Banner over Dan Moore Jr. That would be the number one. I would get Zach Banner on the offensive line. I would move Chooks over to left tackle. I'd get Zach Banner at right tackle. And I would start using more heavy packages. I would get Derek Watt involved in the blocking schemes. I would have Zach Gentry getting more involved with the blocking schemes. And I would get Najee Harris the ball 25 to 30 times a game. I realize he's a rookie, and I realize that's a lot to give that kid. But I would be loading up on the heavy packages and forcing teams to respect the running game. That's what I would start off with. On the defensive side of the ball, it starts and it ends with tackling. This team cannot tackle right now, which is why teams are gashing them in the run game. The front seven is not playing well. Look, I said this on Twitter today. I tried my best to be patient with Devin Bush. I tried to give him a benefit of a doubt after the knee injury and after the chaotic offseason he had, and you know, kind of lost his mind on social media. I don't really put a lot of stock into that, but it's a trend now. The guy is playing like he doesn't care. I believe it was Jason Mackey clipped an extra point where it looked like the controller broke. Devin Bush just didn't move. You've got to put some kind of effort forth, and Devin Bush isn't doing that. So I would get him off the field until he's ready to put some effort forth. I'd get him off the field. All of the changes that are going to be made are going to be personnel because the coaches aren't really going to change how they scheme. So it's going to have to be personnel. So that for me would be, I would get bigger on offense, and I would get guys, even if they're not as talented, I would get guys who care and play like they care on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is it starts up front on both sides, and you know, you get Banner into the game. I think, you know, coming back from an ACL tear on both sides of football is tough. I think if there's a position group where, you know, it's a little harder, it probably is the offensive line just with the way that the body moves. So if he's fully healthy and fully able to go and ready for that, I think you got to do it. You know, this is a banged up defensive unit, but the pass structure has got to be there. And they're not really, you know, with a banged up TJ Watt, they're not really getting up the field. And then there was an opportunity for Alex Highsmith to make a play this afternoon. And he ends up, you know, dropping a pick when, and of course, in true Steelers fashion in this game, it ends up in the hands of Joe Mixon. and instead of an interception, the ball gets right back into the Bengals' hands. So, I mean, you start up front. I mean, tackling is a big issue. Devin Bush, I mean, yeah, highly touted pick, but he's not proven it. Even coming off the injury, obviously, again, ACL tears, you just never know what you're going to get when you come back. But there are so many times where he's just kind of standing lost. And the worst part is they just don't have anybody to take over for them. And then I think the biggest thing is getting healthy. And they have to get healthy on defense. I mean, Joe Hayden being out again proved just how valuable he is to the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary. James Pierre just got torched today. And, yeah. And that just can't happen against teams like Cincinnati.
Yep. I want to go back to another Facebook question here. It's not even a question. It's more of a statement, but it's something I do want to talk about. Sean Ivanovich says, defensively, they don't scare anybody. Dude, I'm with you 100%. And let's take a look at this football team for a second. When we came into the season, when the fans and the media went into this football season, the understanding was that the offense had to be average to slightly above average, and the defense had to be dominant. That was the understanding of this football team. You've got TJ Watt. You've got Alex Highsmith. You've got Joe Hayden. You've got Minkah Fitzpatrick. You've got Cam Hayward. You've got all of these dudes that are big-time players. They're there for splash plays. The defense was supposed to be what carried this football team. And like you said, man, 81 points back-to-back weeks total?
82, 41 and 41.
82, yeah. 82 points in back-to-back weeks against the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't care how many injuries you have. 81 points is unacceptable. This defense is failing miserably. I love TJ Watt, but he didn't play well today. He didn't do anything today. He did very little. And when you're paying a guy as much as you're paying TJ Watt, and he wasn't the problem today. I'm not trying to make it out to be that, but when you're paying a guy as much as you're paying TJ Watt, he can't have weeks off. The defense is not good right now. The defense stinks. There's one or two guys on that defense that actually show up week in and week out, and it's TJ Watt and it's Cam Hayward. And when the two of them have an off week, like they did, everything crumbles. The defense needs to be better. That starts with Keith Butler. That starts with Mike Tomlin, and it trickles down to everybody else, like I said earlier in the show. But yeah, defensively, they're not good. And that is a big problem with this football team, because if this football team was going to make a playoff run, the defense had to be the reason why, and they are not.
Yeah, I mean, and teams are going to try to neutralize Cam Hayward and TJ Watt as best they can. And you know, offensively, Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow, they did that really well for Cincinnati. So, I mean, that's my big thing is, hey, listen, they're going to schematically come after you to neutralize Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, your two biggest playmakers, probably two of the top three, if not top five defenders in all of the NFL at the moment. You know, TJ Watt's stats speak for themselves. Cam Hayward's stats speak for themselves. So how can you, on the back end of that, figure out how you can combat them being neutralized and being, you know, aggressive both in the run and in the pass, and just playing competent defense, because they're not playing competent defense behind them. You know, I thought Minkah Fitzpatrick played an okay game, had eight tackles and the interception. But again, when your safety is making eight tackles, that means people are getting downfield. And, yep. You know, there times that people got through that first level and there was nobody in the next level to even get to them. You know, there's a Joe Mixon cutback run, I want to say later in the game, probably in the second half, where James Pierre had an opportunity to tackle him one-on-one for either a minimal gain or no gain, and Mixon just cuts back right past him and turns it into a chunk play. And that's the stuff that can't happen. And that's the kind of stuff that you get when you have an inexperienced and really just a young defense.
it over to the offensive side of the ball. We'll take a couple more questions, and then we're going to wrap things up here. Amario Wade on YouTube says, all I want for Christmas is a quarterback. Amario, look, I'm with you that Ben was terrible today. He, like everybody else on this team, did not have a good football game. But I can't look at this season, I can't watch this football team as much as I've watched it and say that Ben Roethlisberger is the issue this year. Ben Roethlisberger just got off of a 5-game stretch where he didn't throw an interception. He was above 95, I think, in every single one of those as far as quarterback rating goes. He was getting the ball out to his playmakers in a timely fashion, despite having an offensive line that cannot block for him. If you put Mason Rudolph in, it's going to be more of the same because he's not mobile and this offensive line can't block. As much as I think that Ben is at the end of his career and I can't see him playing another season after this season, all I want for Christmas is an offensive line that knows how to pass block. and I get, like I said, Ben was not good today. There's no excuses for Ben in the way he played today, but to sit here and say this season so far, the reason, you know, that he's the reason they're 5-5-1, I can't buy that. He's not the one dropping passes like Chase Claypool does. He's not the one missing blocks like every single offensive lineman has. You know, he's not the one calling the plays like Matt, for the most part, like Matt Canada is. You know, Ben Roethlisberger can only do so much. And right now, like I said, he wasn't good this week, but he has been one of the bright spots over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
This offense isn't designed to score 41 or 42 points.
Nope.
This offense with, you know, maybe with Juju, maybe, and with a competent offensive line. Yeah, absolutely. You would hope that they could be able to put some points up and put them up in droves. But, you know, I don't think this is Ben's fault by any means. I think there are times where he is at fault. You know, today, I don't think he played very well at all. The interceptions were just abysmal. And hey, kudos to Mike Hilton for showing up today for the Bengals. But yeah, this isn't like the Bengals that we grew up on either. You know, they're a better team. They're a competent team. I think Zach Taylor is doing a great job with the roster that they put together there in Cincinnati. But again, Ben can't go out there and, you know, I'm sure if he played free safety, things would be a lot worse than what they would be. But he can't. He's not giving up 41 points a game. Now, granted, the offense only scored 10 against the Bengals, and that was in all four quarters because for whatever reason, like we talked about earlier, Ben Roethlisberger and the first teamers were there late in the game. So, I mean, it's not all Ben. But they do need an answer at quarterback, whether that's Dwayne Haskins. I don't think so. Obviously, we would see him more, I think, if they wanted to get a better look at him. And I definitely don't think it's Mason Rudolph. So, I mean, maybe if the Steelers end up with a sub-500 record, they can go out and get a competent quarterback to maybe even learn the ropes under Mason Rudolph for a year or just come in and see what you got, like New England did with Mac Jones.
Yeah, a week or two DK on one of his daily shots was talking about, you know, whether Mason Rudolph is the, you know, the future starter in Pittsburgh. And I don't think that he is. I don't think there's any circumstance that Mason Rudolph is a starter in Pittsburgh. I agree. I tend to agree with DK on that. Gaming with Geo says we need to draft a quarterback. We obviously need a lot more than that, but let the old man sit. We're not winning with or without him right now. I actually don't want them to draft a quarterback in this draft class. I don't really see any quarterbacks that I am like over the top about, like that really like move the needle for me. I know everybody in Pittsburgh is going to talk about Kenny Pickett, and look, I love Kenny Pickett, but I wouldn't take a first round pick on Kenny Pickett when you need a tackle, when you need a cornerback, when you need defensive line help, you need inside linebacker help now because Devin Bush just decided that he doesn't like to play football anymore. You need so much more than a quarterback right now. And I think that in the offseason, you could probably go get a veteran. And Tomlin's even said he wants a veteran. I think that you can go get a Tyrod Taylor, a Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody that's going to be a stopgap for a couple years, even a Marcus Mariota. I mean, like, you know, who has some pedigree. That you might be able to just string a year or two along as a stopgap until there's that guy in the draft that you really feel comfortable getting. You know, that's how the Steelers got Ben Roethlisberger. They had Tommy Maddox for a handful of years that it was a stopgap. They ended up with the 11th overall pick, picked Ben Roethlisberger, and it was all, you know, all downhill from there. That's what they're going to have to do this time. I can't see them. I wouldn't want them to draft a quarterback this year.
Yeah, the sexy pick is always going to be Kenny Pickett because it's just the relationship that he has with the city of Pittsburgh and what he's done at Pitt, which has been incredible. And, you know, is he the right fit? I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Matt Canada called plays for somebody from Pitt. But again, it's one of those situations where you got to do what's best for the program and the organization now. So if that means getting the best right guard, or right tackle, or somebody that's going to help you immediately, that's fine. And if you have to live another year with Ben, whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. But you, if you're going to draft a quarterback, you got to draft, or you got to go out and sign a free agent QB as well. Because if he's going to be learning behind Mason Rudolph, I don't think that's going to be a justice for that quarterback, the incumbent quarterback. You know, get a guy that's okay for being a starter for a year or two, and get somebody that is going to push him maybe even. And if that ends up where the rookie quarterback comes in and does better, I mean, this year, I think the quarterback class isn't, you know, one of the strongest. And that's not saying that it could be any stronger next year either. So, I mean, you got to go out and get what's best for your organization at that time and your team at that time. If that means Kenny Pickett, that means Kenny Pickett. If that means somebody else, then that's okay too. But you've just got to put them in positions to succeed. And I don't think that they've ever really put Mason Rudolph in that position to succeed, being behind Ben Roethlisberger for as many years as he has been.
Yeah. I don't really know what else to say on that, Jared, because I think you summed it up perfectly. There's so much more that this team needs to do that I think right now is more important than quarterback. And I realize quarterback is the most important position on the field, but in order for a young quarterback to succeed, you need to build around him and make sure that the infrastructure is there, to make sure that the offensive line is there, make sure that, you know, he has wide receivers that he could trust to go get a 50-50 ball. They've got a good running back. They've got that taken care of. I think there's not enough at the quarterback position this draft, like I said, and they have way too many needs to waste a first round pick on a guy that may or may not be, you know, may or may not be the guy. I'd rather see them get a veteran and just kind of go from there next year. But you know, we'll see what happens. We've hit the half hour mark, so that's going to wrap it up for the Q&A. The Ask Anything post game show. If we didn't get to your question, sorry, there was a lot of them today. They kind of just kept flying in, and they still are. We appreciate everybody that watches and hangs out with us. You know, we always appreciate you guys. Be on the lookout here later on tonight. We will have, we'll have some more content up on our social media feeds, on our YouTube channel. We'll have some interviews from the game tonight, post-game interviews. So, keep an eye out for all that stuff. And we always appreciate you guys for listening and watching. For Jared Prugar and TK Pittsburgh Sports, I'm Eddie Provident. This has been the post-game Q&A. We'll catch you guys next week. Take care.